This week, March 10, 2015, on The Digital Story, the Olympus EM5 Mark II hands-on review, beta testing photos for OS X, who let the air out of the latest MacBook, all of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm back in the Santa Rosa studio this week, not in the Audi studio. I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but last week I was on the road. And I mean, you know that from the interview that I did at lynda.com with the production crew. So you knew I wasn't in Santa Rosa. But the part that you didn't know, or probably didn't know, was that I had to record all the other bits of the podcast inside my Audi, which I drove down to Southern California to work on the movie. Because in the hotel room, there was like the refrigerator and the air conditioning going on. And then in the central areas, there was all sorts of chitter chatter going about. And because we were in a video studio at Lynda and not a sound recording booth, I didn't have access to a quiet place there. So what I had to do was take my portable recorder, my Zoom, that I've been using quite a bit lately, as you've noticed, for different things. It was about 11 o'clock at night after I got back from taping and doing all this other stuff. And I had already written the podcast. I go out to the Audi. And it's an Audi A3. I go out there and I get in the car and I set up the recorder on the steering wheel there. And then I had my iPad that had my notes on it. And I'm sitting in there 11 o'clock at night in the parking lot recording the podcast for the next day. And I didn't have enough energy to edit it that night. I had to actually edit it early the next morning. But it must have been odd for anyone looking outside their hotel window there at the Holiday Inn Express in Carpinteria to see this glowing light from inside a blue Audi with this guy just chatting away at his steering wheel. Anyway, I thought it sounded pretty okay, all things considered. But we don't have any of that this week. No Audi recording studio. We're in the official recording studio here at the Digital Story headquarters in Santa Rosa. And I have some very interesting topics for you this week. We'll start out with the weekly update, which two pretty cool things for that. And then we'll roll into our feature stories. We're going to talk about this fantastic new Olympus camera. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the beta version of Photos for OS X. And we have a screening room, all sorts of good stuff. So let's get started with the weekly update. The weekly update. Iridiant Developer 3.0 released. This is some pretty cool software, actually. It's for the Mac only. So if you're a Windows user, sorry about this particular one. But it's a raw processor at its heart, and it's been around for quite a while. Now, you don't have a fancy web page and all of that, not a lot of marketing behind it. But what they do is provide raw processing for just about every camera and just about every model of every camera, and they turn the profiles around quickly. Just to give you an idea, with this version 3.0 release, they have raw processing for the Olympus EM5 Mark II and also for the 40 megapixel high resolution mode. Now that is getting it done. So anyway, this 3.0 version is out. Iridiant Developer, and it's IRIDIENT. And of course, I'll have the link to the story in the show notes. Let me just read you what a photography blog says about this release. Some of the key new features introduced in version 3 include multiple new demosaic logarithms for both Bayer and X-Trans sensors, new clarity adjustment for enhancing mid-tone contrast, new options for adjusting overall tonality, including an adaptive fill light style exposure adjustment and pixel neighborhood adaptive highlight slash shadow adjustments, several new monochrome mixer conversion methods, a greatly simplified color management setup, two new monochrome toning methods, including split toning and monotone, and much more. And as I mentioned earlier, the final 3.0 release also adds support for raw images from Olympus EM5 Mark II and the 40 megapixel high resolution mode. Now, you can try out this very good raw processor for free. They have a demo mode. As I said, you can go to the article on Photography Blog and read a bit more about it, or you can just go straight to their site and you can download it and try it. And the only thing that they do with the demo version is that when you go to output, when you go to export out of the application, they put a watermark on it. Other than that, it behaves absolutely the way that a paid version would. And I don't even think that there is a time limit on how long you can stay in demo mode. Now, if you decide you want to buy it, it's $99, which, you know, it's a chunk of change there. So I think they're worth looking at. I took it for a spin, and I like the tools. I thought it was fairly intuitive, and I thought it was a very nice raw processor. So anyway, that's out, and I think it's pretty interesting, especially in these times of what are we going to do in the post-aperture era. Speaking of Apple, in other news, Apple's radical 12-inch MacBook is the slimmest, lightest MacBook ever. And this is from Macworld Online. And this just happened today, the day that I'm recording this, which is Monday. Apple reveals a new 12-inch MacBook, a radical revamp that shakes up the winning MBA design by dumping virtually every conventional port. That includes Thunderbolt, the SD card slot, the power connector, everything. In favor of a pair of single USB Type-C connection and an audio jack. That paired with numerous other advances helps the 12-inch MacBook to become the slimmest, lightest MacBook ever. And it's silent, too. There are no fans or anything inside. And again, this is from Macworld. So I wrote about this a bit on the digital story. And this new 12-inch MacBook, it's not a MacBook Air, it's just the new MacBook, has a Retina display. So it has very, very high resolution screen. Weighs only 2 pounds, period. 2 pounds, and is super slim. And it will fit just about anywhere where you have that amount of space. Basically where you have, you know, 12 inches of space where you could slide something in. The lack of ports, though, I think is really interesting because to me, and this is what I wrote about on Digital Story, it really signals Apple's direction that they want to offer to its consumers, which is basically a wireless vision. You think about what's happened with Aperture, and how the Pro app and the app that you use with external hard drives and so forth has gone away and is essentially being replaced by Photos for OS X, which is an iCloud-based application. I mean, the strength of Photos, which I'm going to talk about in the next story, is its connection to the cloud and your other devices. And then you look at this new release, this new laptop, and really their vision is that we don't plug things into our devices. They connect through the internet or wirelessly, and our applications are lightweight applications, and we can just have our content be everywhere on all of our devices at the same time. And basically what I said about this in the article was that I think that's great for consumer snapshooters, because, you know, the automated backup and having an image that you take with your iPhone be available instantly on your new MacBook and all of that, I think is fantastic for consumers. What I don't think it works for are serious enthusiasts and pros. And the example that I used was Cuba. If I had a wireless workflow only available to me, I wouldn't have gotten anything done in Cuba because there were days, not just hours, but days where I had no internet, no cellular, nothing. So all I had was, you know, physical connections, and that's the way that I had to work. Yes, you'll be able to get connector adapters for the new MacBook, and there'll be dongles that, because this port that they're using is a very versatile port. You can plug power into it, you can plug displays into it, you can plug probably Thunderbolt devices into it, but you'll need an adapter for all of that sort of stuff. And so you'll be carrying around these dongles and probably a hub too. So I mean, to me, that takes away a little bit from the lightness of the machine. The 13-inch MacBook Pro that I carry with Retina display, a computer that I absolutely love, has two Thunderbolt 2.0 ports, two USB 3.0 ports, HDMI, audio out, has its own separate power port, and it has an SD card slot. And what I like about it is that, yes, if I want to carry a separate card reader, I can. But if I don't want to, I can just put it in the SD card slot. I can connect, you know, directly to my Drobo or any other hard drive without any adapters. I mean, for me, it's a lot better way to go. So I think 2015 is very exciting for consumer photographers, but it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out for the rest of us. And what we saw today was fun for the consumers, but nothing really in it for me. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Okay, story number one. The Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II hands-on review. So I'm holding in my hand right now. You may hear it there in the background. I am going to try to temper my enthusiasm for this camera. I'm going to try to be a reasonable journalist here. But it's going to be hard. And I'll tell you right up front that I simply love this camera. I have been shooting with it for about a week now. And it took me a day or so to get used to how it feels in my hand. Now, I have the grip for it. I almost always get a grip with any of the mirrorless cameras because, you know, I have large-ish hands, and I really like to be able to hang on to the camera securely. So I have the accessory grip that also has the headphone monitoring jack in it, which is really cool. And it feels terrific. I have the silver model. Now, so what is it? Why am I so excited about this camera? Well, there's so many things. Let me start with the physical layout. First of all, the fully articulated LCD in the back that you can swing around and close up and protect it is beautiful. Nice being able to have it at every angle, and I love being able to close it up. I think it's a big improvement over the older style LCDs that Olympus traditionally has had. And the button layout on the back is very clean and straightforward, and I like that. But where I really get excited is the top deck of this camera. And I think the top deck of the EM5 Mark II is really the exciting part. Because on top, we have essentially one, two, three function buttons. And then the record button for me is a function button. I'll tell you why in a minute. And then right on the back side of the top deck, you have another function button, and then you have the control lever. So essentially, I have five programmable function buttons plus a control lever, plus two custom dials, and then the mode dial, and then they put the on-off switch on top. So the way I have the function button set up, one is HDR, it's labeled that way, and I just left it that way. One is to turn on and off the monitor, and it's labeled that way, and I left it that way. But then on function number two, I have it to turn on and off auto bracketing, And then I'm using the record button as a function button. And there I can turn on and off keystone compensation, which is something that we only had on the EM1 previously, but we now have on the EM5 Mark II. And I love that function. I'm so happy to have it. And so it's right there's my record button. And then function number one, which is just right on the back of the top deck, I use for the digital 2X zoom. And you may be interested to know that, well, what are you doing with a digital 2X zoom? That I thought no one ever used any digital zooming at all. The Olympus digital zoom is a little different to me. And I started using it on the EM10 and really liked it. Started using it when I had the 17mm f1.8 on the camera and I was street shooting. Every now and then I'd want to get a little bit tighter. And I found that the quality of the 2X digital zoom, they just limited it to 2X. It's just, that's it, you know, was actually quite good. So what I would do is shoot in RAW plus JPEG. The JPEG will have the 2X zoom, same resolution, full resolution, but 2X zoom. And then the RAW will be the RAW, which, you know, no zoom, no anything applied to. It's just a RAW file. So that if I decided I didn't like the zoom, I always had the RAW file to go back to. What happened was is that I rarely did that. And I almost went with the JPEG and the 2X zoom. And I just find it very helpful for instantly doubling the focal length of whatever I'm shooting. So much so that it's now my back function button, my FN1 function button, and I use it all the time. Now, in terms of movie recording, since I've already taken away the movie button, right, because I'm using it now for keystone compensation, well, what I've done is one of the options that you have with the back lever, so now we also have the backside lever like we had on the EM1, is that when I put the lever in position 2, it turns it into a movie camera. All the movie functions, I mean, it is geared for movie making. It's actually a preset that you can use. I think it's like mode 6 or something. And when I'm in lever number 2 mode, then the record button is a video button. So all I got to do is with the thumb go from 1 to 2 and hit the button and start recording. But it's all set up as if I'm in actual movie mode. I'm not just, you know, recording a clip willy-nilly like I would otherwise. Love that. I just think it's so cool. Now, the movie mode is fantastic with this camera. And it's something that they tout a lot and spend a lot of time showing me when I saw a preview of this camera at CES with the optical image stabilization system and then the really beefed up menu, the audio enhancements, being able to plug a mic directly into the camera and then monitor the headphones from the grip, having the levels controls and all that stuff. And then the video itself is just really good. I'm not a big video guy. We've talked about this many times, but I love the video mode on this. And since I had to shoot so much video when I was in Cuba, and now I really appreciate, you know, how nice it is just to have one device that can do your movies and stills for you. The silent shooting mode on the camera is terrific. And it's something that I've wanted, something that Panasonic has done a good job of, and I wanted it on Olympus cameras, and they've delivered. And it's neat, the way that you get to it is that you just basically go to your drive mode. You have a choice of silent single shot or silent high speed frame rate or silent low speed. And what they did is that, you know, you get the single square for when it's a single shot. And then if you're in silent mode, there's a heart next to it. The heart tells you that you're in silent mode. You get to it through the same menu that you would do for burst mode and for self timer and all that. It's easy to use and it's really nice. And then, of course, there's the 40 megapixel high res shot mode on this. And I'll tell you, this is no gimmick. I had a lot of fun testing it. And the imagery that it produces is stunning. Absolutely stunning. And it's not just high resolution in terms of sharpness. The tonal fidelity, you know, the gradations, the color is just beautiful across the board, very easy to use. You can shoot in either RAW or RAW plus JPEG. Now the default is RAW, so if you want RAW plus JPEG, after you choose high-res shot, you also have to change the file type to RAW plus JPEG. You don't really need the RAW, in all honesty. first few times I shot with it, I just shot with it in JPEG only because the files are so big in RAW. I mean, this is like this 16-bit ginormous RAW file, 130 some odd megabytes a shot, whereas the JPEGs are around 17 megabytes a shot. But the JPEGs are so beautiful and so big that you're just going, I'm not sure why I need RAW unless I really screwed up on the exposure or something. Now, if you do shoot RAW, you can process in the Olympus software. But Olympus has also made available on their support page a Photoshop plugin for both Mac and Windows that allows you to process these 40 megapixel shots. And of course, as I talked about earlier, third-party solutions are already showing up. The shutter mechanism is high quality and has a sound I've never heard on an Olympus camera before. Really nice sound. And you know, one thing I really like about Olympus is they don't hold back when they come out with a new camera model. Now, we know other manufacturers that do this. They'll give you 2/3 of what you want, and then they'll hold back a few features, you know, for another model that maybe costs more, thinking that either you'll have to buy that or upgrade or, you know, get them both or something. And I've always hated that. It always drives me nuts. What Olympus does is they give you everything that they got at the moment. And the, you know, when you buy, you know, one of the medium on up models, they don't hold back. You know, they put the control lever in. They put Keystone compensation in. They put the 40 megapixel shot in. They put all this stuff in their non-flagship camera. And what that says to me is that they have complete confidence in their technology roadmap, and they can give you everything that they have right now, knowing that they have more cool stuff coming down the road. And I just think that's terrific. So anyway, two big thumbs up, very high nimbelosity rating for this EM5 Mark II. Like I said, I'm gonna keep shooting with it. You're probably thinking, well, are there any downsides to this camera? And I will tell you, I have found one. I have found a downside. And that downside is that it starts up just a hair slower than my other OMDs. So when I first turn the on switch on, there's actually a slight delay before it's ready to fire. So it's not perfect, but boy, is it fun. Okay, story number two, beta testing photos for OS X. So I posted about this on the digital story, but I wanted to talk a little bit about it too. And you can join the OS X beta program, get the upcoming version of Yosemite. You know, Apple wants you to give it a spin. And then obviously if you have feedback, they have a feedback mechanism that you can use. You know, that's obviously part of it. That's what they get out of it, because they want to have this as finely tuned as possible before the official release. And as part of all that, the Photos app, the current version of the Photos app, is in this beta release. You know, since I'm going to be doing a Linda training on the Photos app and going to be writing about it, I got my hands on it as soon as I could. And have been playing with it. And it's very interesting. Now, I have a couple tips first. I wouldn't put this beta version of Yosemite on your mission critical Mac. It's not on my work Mac that I carry around every day. I have a testing Mac, a very nice one, 15-inch Retina display, that I use for all the beta software and things like that. And it's on there because I don't think it's a good idea to put beta software on your mission critical machine. There's that. And then the other thing is, I don't recommend at this point, if you're gonna do this, that you upgrade any of your Aperture or iPhoto libraries and get duplicate versions of this. I mean, once you upgrade them, that copy can't go backwards anymore. And then you have the other copy. I don't know. I think until you decide if you're gonna be using this seriously or not, what I would go with is that it automatically reads your iCloud photo library, which most of us that would be considering this have. I have, you know, oodles of pictures in there, plenty of stuff to work with. So I haven't converted any of my iPhoto or Aperture libraries. I'm just using my iCloud library with photos for OS X, and it's fine for testing. So and just a couple tips there that I think are a good idea. Now, in terms of the app itself, it's fun. It really is. There's a lot of things I like about it. It's very modern, as you would suspect. It's very clean. And the image editing tools, even though there aren't as many as in Aperture 3.6, what's in there is very good. And it really feels like they've rewritten a lot of the code for these tools because the results are excellent. I really like how the pictures look when I play with them. Now, obviously, I mean, this almost goes without saying these days. There's a lot that just isn't in there. I use the brushes a lot in Aperture and do a lot of localized editing or apply a full edit. Let's say I apply a vignette and then I use the remove brush, you know, to take away parts of it that I don't want, stuff like that. None of that really right now. So it is what it is. If you want to test the beta, you can sign up for the program. It's going to be, the official release is going to be out here before too long, probably, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, something like that. So if you want to get a jump on it, you can do that today. The thing I'll close with on this is that there weren't any real surprises, either pro or con, on this version of Photos for OS X. It is pretty much what we've talked about and what I've learned about up until this point. And really, I think it's just a matter of figuring out what we're going to do. Okay, let's take a stroll over to the screening room. I have one of my favorite, no, I take that back. I have my favorite Photoshop instructor as the featured artist this week. The title is Photoshop CC Essential Training with Julianne Cost. And for my money, Julianne is the best Photoshop instructor in the business. She not only knows the application inside and out, she has a real talent for teaching, and she has a sense of humor. Now, that is a winning combination. And all of those skills come through in this title, available in the lynda.com online training library right now. Of course, I'll have a link directly to Julianne's title by going to lynda.com, LYNDA/thedigitalstory. And there you'll be able to see Julianne's title and everything else that's going on. You can start your 7-day free trial there so that you can watch the entire training by Julianne and basically everything else that's in the library, including more than 20 titles by yours truly. And pretty soon I'm going to have another one in there because we finished recording Cuba, and it's in the hands of the director and the editor now to finish it up. I can't wait. Obviously, I'll keep you posted on that. So anyway, today's screening room title is Photoshop CC Essential Training with Julianne Cost. It's terrific. She's terrific, and it's definitely worth a look. Okay, Virtual Camera Club news. Give a shout out to our friends over at SizzlePix, SizzlePix.com. And they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And it was funny, I had someone come over to the studio the other day, right when I got back from down south, from Santa Barbara and Carpinteria. And it was a business appointment. And the way that I do the business appointment is that I have a work table downstairs. And, you know, that's the main gallery and the classroom and all that sort of stuff. And I usually sit people down so they can get the best view of the gallery that there is. And this happens so many times, but it was fun to, it's always fun to watch it. So there, I'm talking to them, and you know, they're not making eye contact anymore, and they're looking up at the images that are hanging on the wall. And at some point, they go, they'll say something like, what are those? Something like that. Those are crazy. What is it? You know, what do you have hanging up there? Because, you know, they're sizzle pics and they're images, nice images on, you know, polished aluminum with all this depth and saturation and clarity and stuff. And a lot of times, and this happened the other day, at some point they'll just want to get up and take a closer look at their favorite one. And those are the breaks in the meetings that I just love. And if you don't have a Sizzlepix hanging in your home right now, or in your studio, or in your office, I highly encourage it. It is just a great conversation piece. It's just something that you can have hanging up there, or a couple of them, and just wait for people to say something. I don't know. I never get tired of it, and I thought I'd share that anecdote with you. Anyway, they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story, or you can go there directly, sizzlpix.com. It's like a retina display you can hang on the wall. And then our friends over at Red River Paper, who have a wonderful Facebook page, facebook.com/redriverpaper. They're just putting along nicely. There's a lot going on now. I believe they have their review up. I was going to double check because I know they're working on it. I think it's up now for the new Epson P600, which is a printer that I'm very interested in. I mean, I want to get this printer. I saw it at Photo Plus Expo and fell in love with it, in part because not only does it do everything else that I want, it's a 13-inch dedicated photo printer, but the black and white on it was, the black and white from it was just stunning. And the reason why I bring that up is because Red River Paper, these guys are into printing. It's not that they just, you know, make paper and shove it out the door. They are into printing big time. And whenever a new printer comes out by Epson or Canon in particular, they are testing it. They are seeing how their paper works on it. They're creating profiles for it. They're sharing what they've learned with their audience about it. It's really neat. It's really neat, and I love their reviews because, you know, they really know what they're talking about. So I'll try to dig up the link for it if it's up and post it, but it's just an example of why you want to keep an eye on their Facebook page and why you want to sign up for their newsletter, because they will share all this information with you, and they will make you better at printing. Now, their paper is highly affordable because they're producing it themselves, and they're passing those savings along to you. And I just think the world of them, and I thank them for being sponsored of Digital Story. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. And like I said, make sure you check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Okay, I think that's gonna do it for this week. I'll see you next week. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.